listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Look sharp, homie. Give yourself a facelift. Highbrow eyebrows on a spaceship. Take sips from the Ace of Spades. Saving all my money just to waste on a bracelet. Can't see them haters. We don't give a fuck, though. Charge it to the game. Keep a lane so cutthroat. Never slip a fast one. The game is so in front of me. Travel around the globe. Spend a nigga about 100 G's. Pack them crowds up. Boss like Bowser. Deep pocket poetry. My custom trousers. Thank God they found us. The game was starving. I'm clean and concrete. You soft and charming. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we are back for another podcast. 1200 episodes in the bank, you know what I'm saying? Just coasting.
1200?
What? No, we're like 1250 something.
Oh, I'm about to say.
I'm just saying, it's just amazing how we continue to roll and grow and prosper.
Yeah, and it's amazing how I don't keep track.
Mm-hmm. And can't even stop the shot stride like that.
Mm-mm. Y'all be reminding us of milestones. I be like, oh, work.
We are here on the last day of the week for us, Wednesday. New Balls Deep Sports went out for premium people today, so you guys should have that in your feed as we speak. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today marks day 595 that Bobby Schmurter has been locked up in jail. Mm-hmm. Getting close to 600, y'all.
Free Bobby.
And today's show is sponsored. I mean, it's like triple sponsored. It's so sponsored that it's like super duper sponsored. Like we sound like a official radio show. We're gonna have so many commercials today. Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
This episode is brought to you by Loot Crate, which is a monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter code TBGWT and you can save $3 off of any new subscription. The August theme for Loot Crate is anti-hero. So it's got things like Archer, Dark Horse, Kill Bill, collectibles, t-shirts, wearables, pins, like it comes with everything. Make sure you guys sign up and you can get your hands on some of this nice loot. Okay. Mm-hmm. Also brought to you by Bevel. That's right. This episode is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com today and use code TBGWT and you can get 20% off of your first month at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. And then the other more like sexier sponsor, I guess, will be this one. And that is, Adam and Eve. Get some sexy music on.
Say, you keep my eyes on the full moon. She never changes until I look away.
Hey.
Until I look away.
Hey. All right, so Adam and Eve is trying to hook your ass up, okay? Go to adamandeve.com and for a limited time only, they will give you 50% off of just about any item. Go through the store, peruse, find things online, you know what I'm saying, virtually. You don't even have to leave your house. Pick your one item out, put it in your cart, put in code TBGWT. It's gonna say, yo, you got some offer codes? Yes, you do have an offer code. It'll give you 50% off. In addition to your 50% off, they'll also give you 3 free adult DVDs plus a free exclusive gift, and to top it all off, they throw in free shipping on your entire order. Okay, so you're gonna want to take advantage of this while you can, because I mean, they're giving away everything for free. I mean, you essentially just pay half of what you bought in tax, and then it shows up at your doorstep. Okay, you don't have to have any friends, no one has to see your face, nobody has to know who you are. It comes in a discreet package right to your doorstep. Okay, just go to adamandeve.com, pick out one item, put in code TBGWT, get your 3 free adult DVDs, a free exclusive gift, and free shipping on your entire order. That's adamandeve.com, code TBGWT.
Until I look away. Until I look away. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. My eyes open and now,
All right, let's talk about all kinds of news and stuff. Things have continued to happen in the world, even though, you know, it's only been 24 hours since we were last on here. Mm-hmm. 24 hours worth of shit has happened, so we have to talk about it. Of course. Question, if you have the answer, so tell me what I want to know. Do you want to funk? Do you want to funk? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you want to funk, let me show you how. Do you want to funk with me? Do you wanna fuck with me?
Yay!
That's right. Now let's talk about this horrible stuff happening to LGBTQ. apparently the Pope decided to, you know, continue to talk. Everybody likes new Pope, right? New Pope? Right? Different from the old Pope? Maybe? During a meeting with Polish bishops while attending World Youth Day, Pope Francis concluded his remarks by complaining that children are being taught that everyone can choose their gender. He also called this ideological colonization by very influential countries. Dignity USA, the organization of Catholics committed to justice, equality, and full inclusion of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people in the church and society, responded with deep concern that the Pope's comments could lead to increased violence towards and oppression of transgender and gender nonconforming people. Once again, the Pope is demonstrating a lamentable and dangerous ignorance of a subject that is literally a matter of life and death to some people, said Dignity USA. Executive Director Marion Duddy Burke. Duddy Burke. He is also failing to see that God speaks through many languages, cultures, and human experiences, and not always in the ways that we have the skills to interpret correctly. So basically, yeah, he came out and said that transgender people, you know, it's not real. And kids are being taught they can be transgender, but they're not actually transgender. So, apparently he had a meeting August 3rd, 2016. The remarks released by the Vatican on a closed door meeting, Pope Francis proved once again that he is a danger to the LGBT community. Francis' softer tone towards lesbian and gay people does not mean any actual policy changes. It does not extend to the transgender community. In the closed door meeting, Francis says it is terrible children are able to choose their gender, and called the transgender community the epoch of sin against God the Creator. We are living in a moment of annihilation of man as image of God. He also blamed the schools for teaching children they can choose their gender. So remember when he met with that woman from Indiana who was a clerk, Kim Davis? Mm-hmm. And people were like, oh, don't blame the Pope for that. He doesn't schedule those meetings. Okay. Mm-mm. I mean, like, they share a lot in common.
They do. They do. New Pope? Nah, psych.
Same as the old Pope. You know, same flavor, everything. So it's, you know, what's different, really? The governor of North Carolina is lashing out at musicians who protested the bathroom law. Yeah, Pat McCrory is very upset that people would dare disagree with his law. He called it a selective outrage.
Okay, selective outrage that nobody voted on.
Ricky Diaz, who's a spokesman for McCrory's gubernatorial campaign, wrote in a statement obtained by the Carolina Mercury that it is the height of hypocrisy for these Hollywood elitists to deny their service to customers over a political disagreement. I just can't imagine how anyone can see this stuff and don't feel the parallels from the 60s and shit. I just don't know how. Because it was like, oh, you don't want to play here because it's segregated? Wow, you really going to just let a little disagreement about whose rights we respect get between us and this entertainment? I just bought a ticket to your show. You better come here and entertain me.
I know. But look at that colored sign. Nah, you okay. Just bypass it. It don't affect me, so why are we complaining?
I mean, you know how much production it takes to put on a concert?
A lot.
You think none of these people are LGBTQ? Nobody's on the spectrum? You just see Bruce Springsteen and assume he packed up his motherfucking guitar and rode over there by himself, and nobody in his band, nobody in his crew, none of his makeup artists.
Yeah, none of the sound technicians.
None of the wardrobe. Everybody is just a straight person who doesn't sympathize or empathize with anybody else. It's just a disagreement to them. It's not their actual lives. Anyway, he's a disgrace. I can't wait till he's out of office.
Right.
A lesbian couple won the right to adopt each other's children in a landmark gay adoption case for Italy. So that's good. Basically, if you're a gay family, two women, two men, whatever, and your kids are yours through the adoption, but you didn't adopt them at the same time, you didn't adopt them together, if something happens to you, like you die and then your partner has their kid, of course, but what happens to your kid? Straight people we don't have to worry about this.
Oh, so they just don't go to another parent?
No.
What?
Yeah, straight people, we don't have to really worry about that.
Right, because everybody, like, if me and you had a kid and something happened to the kid, they're like, oh, yeah, the other parent just gets the rights to the child.
Right. Cause just out of the nature of being straight.
Right.
The court said Friday that Marilena Grassadonia, president of the Rainbow Families Association, could adopt her wife's twin boys. Her partner was also allowed to adopt her son. It marks a legal first for Italy, where strong opposition to same-sex marriage and same-sex adoption from the Catholic Church has slowed legislation on LGBT rights. The Guardian noted that all previous verdicts in the favor of lesbian women being recognized as parents of their partner's children by Italian law are currently at the appeal stages. On a personal level, it's a huge satisfaction, but I cannot be fully happy when I think that our families depend on individual decisions, the Guardian quoted Grassadonia saying.
Right.
Yeah, because even with this, you still have to, it's still not the same as just having the right when you're married.
You don't know who gonna give you a hard time. Somebody still might dispute your paperwork.
Yeah. Grassadonia has long been a fierce critic of Italy's laws on gay rights. In February, Italy passed a civil unions bill that gave legal recognition to same-sex couples for the first time in the country's history. However, LGBT activists, including Grassadonia, noted the bill had been significantly watered down before it was passed. In particular, a provision that would have granted non-biological parents into same-sex relationships parental rights was removed from the legislation before it could be voted in. Instead, cases involving gay parents and adoption would be decided on a case-by-case basis.
Nah.
So.
Nah, they just want to give people a hard time. And basically deny everybody. That's their way of denying everybody.
Yeah. Good that they got that landmark decision, but still so much of a fight to go. A Family Dollar employee, cashier, got a little upset, after refusing to serve LGBT customers. She, couldn't take, oh, they took the video down. Okay. All right. Melissa Langford went to Family Dollar on Friday to pick up a few things when a normal shopping trip turned into a homophobic nightmare. It all started when the cashier was loudly proclaiming her hatred for gay people. Langford wrote on Facebook, according to Tower Low, after 5 or 6 minutes, or at least it felt that long, of listening to her yell and preach to each customer about how gay people need to get the fuck, they got something wrong in their head, edit, they had that she guess the race that she had the right to refuse service to anyone she want, gays or sick. I started to writhe away internally. Yeah, that seems pretty seems pretty foul.
The lady works for the company?
She's a cashier for a Family Dollar.
Oh, she wouldn't be a cashier for long if it was for me.
Yeah. I mean, cause your job is just your job has nothing to do with somebody being gay. Like, it's not like you're...
Good evening, and thanks for watching. I'm Katie Moore. A New Orleans...
Not that it's ever okay, but this isn't you giving out marriage licenses. Like, I'm just trying to buy a pack of gum, dog. Like, just give me my gum. The fuck this got to do with me being gay?
Gay people pay your salary, sweetie. Guarantee you everybody that pays your salary ain't straight.
Yeah, all the people that sign your checks and work at Family Dollar, just idiots.
Refused to ring her up because she's gay. A cell phone video showing the aftermath at a local Family Dollar store has been seen more than 35,000 times. Now she and the 1,000-plus people who have shared it are calling for a better response. Ashley Rodrigue has the story.
The Family Dollar store on the corner of Canal and Broad has always been Melissa Langford's go-to for knickknacks, but she says never again after her experience there this past Friday.
The cashier was just loudly stating her opinion on her disdain for gay people. Eventually, I spoke up because I couldn't take it anymore.
But Langford says the situation only got worse.
I'm not dealing with these two.
She won't serve us because I'm gay and he don't like non-gay people.
Langford says an appeal of the discrimination to the manager yielded no result, which led to a shouting match between the clerk and the supportive customer. Eventually, another clerk did service Langford and the other man, but Langford says the damage was done.
I think everybody's entitled to think what they want, but as a representative of a company, like a national chain, it's completely inappropriate and a blatant disregard for other people's feelings.
When Eyewitness News called the store Sunday to inquire about the incident, the manager on duty claimed to know nothing about it. But Langford says she shared the story and video on social media so everyone could know about it.
This gets it put out into the air that us gay people are going to stick together.
Langford says she'll take any kind of response from the company, from firing the clerk and manager to a simple apology. As long as someone acknowledges how she was treated in this video was wrong. Ashley Rodrigue, Eyewitness News.
An email sent today to Family Dollar's corporate office was not answered by Newstime.
Oh, wow. So, you know, hey, just don't be shopping anywhere while gay, because you just don't know when that personal cashier is just going to flip the fuck out because, you know, whatever's going on in their head that they've decided.
Yeah, and as Family Dollar, she needs to be fired because I'm a national chain brand and you fucking with my money, and the little pennies I give you ain't nothing compared to the money that you're going to cause me to lose off of your fuck ass opinion that nobody asked for.
Right. Now in April, Florida backtracked on new guidelines for LGBT foster children. Tallahassee, a heated national debate over how far to go with LGBT rights has reached the doorstep of foster children living in group homes across Florida. Florida officials had planned a series of sweeping changes within foster homes, including letting transgender kids wear clothes of their choosing and be placed in group homes according to their identity. So far, so good.
Right.
But after at least two religious groups objected, the state's Department of Children and Families abruptly backtracked from putting these new protections in place. An LGBT activist during a hearing Friday let the state know they weren't too happy with the about face. I experienced a lot of discrimination based off of who I self-identified as, Jessica Hawk, a former foster child, said. I had foster parents tell me that if they knew I identified as queer, they wouldn't have taken me in. Initially, DCF had proposed rules that would have prohibited anti-LGBT bullying and discrimination, as well as banning conversion therapies aimed at changing children's sexual orientation or gender. That's legal? So you can adopt a kid and then be like, also I'm about to put you in conversion therapy? That's not already illegal? That's ridiculous.
I guess it varies from state to state, apparently.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're just talking about Florida right now, but I'm just saying it shouldn't be legal anywhere.
No.
like those places have widely been discredited. Like, that's ridiculous. But the agency last month revealed revised its plan in favor of more general language changes, outlawing discrimination on the basis of race, national origin, religion, gender, disability, or any other characteristic. Gone is the proposed language the department developed with a group of lawyers called the LGBTQ Child Welfare Work Group. The change is meant to ensure that 2,363 children in group homes are treated fairly and not singled out just one group, regardless of inherent traits, personal characteristics, or past experiences, said Secretary Mike Carroll in a statement. But child welfare and the LGBT rights advocates don't see it that way. More than three dozen people spoke in support of the protections. Many shared personal stories about foster children they work with who have been mistreated because they identify as LGBT. Cindy Brown, an activist and foster parent, said she heard atrocious stories from LGBT children in her care. Counselors who are assigned by DCF telling kids that their problems are because of their orientation is certainly not in the best interest of any child, said Brown, who lives in Miami. The fact that this conversation is even happening is shocking to me because I cannot imagine any reason not to protect these very vulnerable kids at this most vulnerable time. That's weird because, like, also, like, it's weird because religious groups stepped in, but this is the government. Like, it doesn't matter what your religion is.
And my thing is this, what y'all ain't adopting these kids. Like, not trying funny, did a lot of these people protesting, odds are they ain't adopting these kids, because
right.
If everybody was adopting these children, a lot of times you wouldn't have this overflow, you wouldn't have a lot of these problems in the system. If everybody was adopting children, you're protesting some shit that don't directly affect you.
Yeah, it's just extremely weird to see people sort of justify this shit by using, you know,
because it's for protection of the children,
right? You know, it's but yeah, they walked it back because of intimidation from some.
What the fuck they was gonna
groups.
Do other than be goddamn mad? That's it. They were just gonna be mad.
Yeah. In January, however, both the Florida Conference of Catholic Bishops and Baptist Children's Homes sent letters asking the DCF to remove several of the LGBT protections. The letters refer to transgender as mistaken belief and setting aside gender identity and sexual orientation is unwarranted. You know, it's funny because this is the same state that you had the Pulse shooting at, and then you had people try to act like they were so positive and pro-LGBT in the wake of that, yeah. But like literally the month before that, y'all were sitting around basically being like, now if you gay, you a foster kid, like you just need to keep that shit to yourself. And then a bunch of people get shot, then it's like, oh well, actually, you know, we're really way more progressive than you guys think.
No, you're not. You don't, you know, people see you. That's the thing. People see you. And then you had that woman that was with Anderson Cooper looking all crazy and want to talk about everything else but what the fuck he was talking about, because he was calling her out on her bullshit.
It's scary. Shelley Wright says country singers support LGBT rights but they're afraid to speak up. Ain't that some shit? And I'm assuming it's because their fan base.
Come on now.
So they think, you know, because it's funny because like rap and black people, we get labeled as homophobic and whatnot, but it's so many strong vehicles with power that are handled by ultimately by white people, mm-hmm. that have homophobia, and not just homophobia, but the power to ensure that structures stay in place. But I think it's very convenient to scapegoat just the black community. It's not.
Yeah, because you can ignore it, just like they ignore everything else. If we push it down to the blacks, everybody act like the shit don't exist. Because there's a lot of genre music, and I understand people listen to all genre music, but you're talking about rock. You know, you're talking about, all types of music that, if a lot of these people spoke out, the fan base would be highly upset.
Yeah, what I'm saying is this, it's very funny that the blame gets laid at black people's feet in a lot of these cases, but the institutions a lot of times are white run. I mean, Look, Chick-fil-A, sure, black people love chicken. We don't own Chick-fil-A.
Nope.
And Chick-fil-A is the one that puts millions of dollars into keeping LGBT rights in the dark ages as long as they can. So it's interesting how it works, but the point being, this is a perfect example of white people, because white people listen to the country music, and the artists are feeling scared that they can't even say, like, hey, I'm pro LGBT, I want people to have rights, I don't want to go to North Carolina and not be able to say something or have to or make a boycott or make a stance, because you saw what happened when they made a stance against Bush with the Dixie Chicks. Everybody went from loving them to hating them. But once again, these are the things that, you know, get laid at the feet of black people.
Right.
But yeah, this singer was like, yeah, there's a lot of us that want to come out and say something, but we're scared to take a stance, which.
Yeah, we'll lose money.
Right. Crazy. All right. Anything else? Target allows trans customers and workers to use the bathroom based on gender identity. I think we may have covered this a while ago, but yeah, Target is like, yeah, y'all can use whatever bathroom you want.
Yeah, we want all the money, all of it.
And somehow it hasn't turned into Rape Central in Target. It's been months now.
Ain't there Targets in North Carolina?
Yeah, it was right. April 19th. April 19th, the story came out, and somehow everybody's doing okay, y'all. I don't know. Target decided these laws are stupid, and that's somehow it worked out, and nobody said anything about it.
And I think, what was it, a few years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and I know this might sound ignorant, but I'm gonna say it anyway, a few years ago was my first time ever going into a transgender bathroom.
You mean
unisex bathroom? I don't know if that's the same.
Well, I mean, it's just a bathroom that anybody can go in.
Right. And that's regardless of your sexuality, right?
Right, unisex.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a transgender bathroom. That would be a bathroom that only transgender people can use. And I don't even know how you would do that, you know.
Me either. Stead, North Carolina would love something like that. Right. But anyway, and you know what, y'all? It was a motherfucking bathroom. Just the same regular ass bathroom that everybody been going into. There was nothing different. The toilet still worked. The sink still worked. Everything still functioned the same.
You sure?
I am positive.
All right. I mean, if you say so. I feel like if you go to the transgender bathroom, the gay bathroom, or bisexual bathroom, basically when you flush the toilet, it should be like... I mean, it should be more lit in there, is what I'm saying.
Nope. I wish.
So it was just ready.
I wish I flushed the toilet and I have a fucking party. That would be lit. I would go in there just fucking because I could.
I'm let down, gay people.
No. I know. Where my strobe lights in the bathroom when I flushed the toilet?
Yeah. Alright. Let's get into regular news. Drake is ready to battle Eminem, reportedly. High 97's Ebro Darden opened up this show about a private conversation he had with Drake about Joe Budden and Slim Shady. We talked about Joe Budden. He was laughing. He was like, I gave him a little look. That's why Joe A put out the DMs. He keeps threatening he's gonna put out DMs where I DM'd him. The reason he ain't put them out is because I DM'd him and said, I hope you get well in this tough time, aka you out here strung out on dope or something. And so he ain't put that out. But when Eminem came into the conversation, I told Drake, Darden added, that the rumor was that Eminem was going to gear up to come after him. He laughed. He was like, that's not going to happen. He'd never do that. And if he did, I've got something for him, too. This is a private convo. That's what he said. Now, if it's a private convo, why are you telling the...
It ain't private no more.
You really can't be friends with everybody. That's really the lesson here. I mean, damn. Some may say this could be a sign from the fact that M signed Drizzy's friend turned foe Budden to his Shady Records imprint as part of Slaughterhouse in 2012. However, the group has not released an album since that year's Welcome to Our House last year. And last year, Budden rapped about his lack of communication with Marshall Mathers on the song Slaughtermouse. People listen to him. Ebro, Drake, and Eminem have one major thing in common, ties to Apple. Yeah, he may pump it up. That's what he's known for. Aside from his work at Hot 97, Ebro is also a host of Beats One. Drake, of course, has his own show on the music service and whatnot. I don't know, man. I mean, I guess if they want to battle, I'll listen to that. I'll actually listen to that. I haven't listened to any of the songs with Joe Budden dissing Drake. It's just
I don't know too much about Joe Budden, mm-hmm. other than his interactions on the internet, which I am not here for.
Mm-hmm.
He is Hotep nigga number one, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I see them on Love and Hip Hop, and that's all I know about Joe Budden.
Well, he was chasing down some little kids who rolled up on him someplace, like that was recorded. Which I mean, obviously, no shade against that. I mean, motherfucker roll up on you, you're gonna do what you gotta do. People play too much on the internet, and somebody gonna get rolled up on one of these times, gonna be the last time they do that shit.
Ain't that the truth to anybody?
He's just, I don't know. It seemed like he, grown up, as far as age is concerned, been around longer. Him dissing Drake seems kind of like a ridiculous thing that just to get some type of attention or something. And I'm not, and then like, he's such a prolific rapper that he can't do anything and just sit on it. It has to be 6-7 songs and shit. And I'm like, man, I'm not listening to 7 tracks about one nigga. Like, rap shit up, make one song, this nigga.
So it's a book, you rapping a book?
I mean, it's like volumes to it, like, but that's what he does, you know. I just never really been a big fan of his. I always kind of thought his music was a little bit boring and like emo, and then just he has that run-on ability where he don't know how to wrap shit up on the mic. And you know, I just never really been a nigga that's into 127 bar songs and shit. So but you know, obviously good luck to him and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what's up with the Eminem Drake beef, because I don't think Drake can fuck with Eminem.
Mm-mm.
So we'll see if he really thinks he want to take it there. That's a lot to ask, bro.
Yeah, that's a whole lot to ask.
President Obama commuted the sentences of 214 inmates today, and he's now shortened more sentences than the last 9 presidents combined. Yep, he's at 562 right now. He cut short the sentences of 214 federal inmates, including 67 life sentences, and what the White House called the largest batch of commutations on a single day in more than a century. Almost all the prisoners were serving time for nonviolent drug crimes, reflecting Obama's long-stated view that the U.S. needs to remedy the consequences of decades of sentencing requirements that put tens of thousands of Americans behind bars for far too long.
Right.
He's pushed for a broader fix to criminal justice laws and has used the aggressive pace of his communications in an effort to of his commutations in an effort to pressure Congress and call for more attention to the issue. All told, he has commuted some 562 sentences during his presidency, more than the past 9 presidents combined, the White House said. Almost 200 of those have been benefited were serving life sentences. So, man, people went to jail, really didn't have hope, you know, and he came to the office and got them out of there, man. So, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's good, because I personally think what's even more fucked up is that you have states that are changing their laws as far as what people can get arrested for drugs and things like that, but you don't go back and say, hey, if you're already in here, these sentences apply to you too. You go, nope, if you was here before this day, fuck it, you just gonna serve your lifetime. And nah, the people need to be let go too, because obviously you changed a lot because something was fucking wrong with it.
Yeah, of course he had his critics about this. Is this a good thing? Are we a republic of men or a republic of laws? Said one Twitter user, basically saying like, how you gonna strike it down by yourself? I'm not sure that is a statistic to be proud of. Our courts convict for a reason, said probably some white dude named Dave Wright. It's still unclear how the news will impact the current presidential race. Neither Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump have yet to respond to Wednesday's commuted sentences. We'll see what happens. Let's see what else happened. There's this teen, Fred Barley, who, there was a GoFundMe or some type of fundraiser thing online started for him.
Mm-hmm.
because he was homeless.
And
this woman started raising money from him, and it got like over $100,000. And then at some point there was it started being a question of whether he would get that money or not. He biked over 6 hours and slept in a tent to register for college classes.
Shit.
And the legitimacy of his claims was called into question by Casey Blaney, the woman who initially started the GoFundMe campaign after being touched by Fred's story, because of her sudden doubts after Fred refused to agree to handle the money in a way that she saw fit. GoFundMe held the $184,000 raised on his behalf pending an investigation. We're happy to report that the dispute has been resolved and Fred will be in control of all of the money earned on his behalf.
Right, because that's who, nope. How are you going to raise money on somebody else's behalf and then be like, I'm going to tell you what to do with the money that I raised for you?
He said, I will be allowed to put the funds into a trust that covers both living expenses and help with tuition. He hinted that Ms. Blaney is distancing herself from the situation, which we assume is because of the negative attention she received after making her doubts known. Ms. Blaney would like to turn over everything to her lawyer. Does not want anything to do with the trust account any longer. Together, my attorney and her attorney are working cooperatively to ensure that all assets donated go strictly to me and in a trust that I agree with. So.
Right, so she wanted to raise money for you and then tell you what to do with it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. Yeah, so I guess she...
She wanted to be a white savior?
She wanted to be an impossible white woman. Yes, you want to be a possible white woman.
Right, you want to raise money for me,
mm-hmm.
and then you want to tell me what to do with my money. Like, I'm not smart enough and intelligent enough to decide what I want to do with this money.
Right.
So, if you have a problem or something with whatever I do or my lifestyle, you can deny me access to this money if you choose. Get the fuck out of here.
Yes, well, you know what else? It's like, you want to use my story to raise the money.
Right.
You know, but what's gonna happen after that? But yeah, she just said she had multiple questions about the story, and if they're not answered, she's gonna refund the money to all the donors, is what she had said originally.
Right, you're questioning my story, but you're the one that brought the story to light. So mm-hmm. wouldn't you do your investigation before you brought the story to life? Or was I some poor charity case that you could rally around to make yourself feel better?
Yeah, apparently the 19-year-old objected to her plans to place the money in a trust. He indicated that he would only place money in the trust if he could choose the attorney and the trustee. On Wednesday evening, Blaney herself posted the following on Facebook called Success for Fred. Unfortunately, multiple questions have been raised about Fred's story. We received conflicting information about his initial story. We've asked for the campaign to be reviewed. She didn't say which questions there were, but then they placed a hold on them. What's funny though is, she didn't want him to have she didn't want him to have an attorney and a trust of his choosing. Look, man, once you give, you give.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's, you're done. Like, you then don't give. Don't organize it. Someone else could have organized this. Right. It didn't have to be you.
Right.
You know? Let's see what else happened. How about this one? We need to talk about the toxic masculinity that killed Joyce Kwawe. I hope I pronounced that right. Kwawe. So this is on Blavity.com.
Mm-hmm.
On July 29th, police discovered 24-year-old Joyce, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing it right, Kwawe, as she had been beaten to death inside of a Germantown, Pennsylvania home. Her 47-year-old partner and former police officer, Aaron Wright, is accused of killing her for not submitting to his authority. Police say Wright's close friend and Temple University police officer, Marquise Robinson, participated in the deadly assault. After the two killed her, investigators say they continued to beat her dead corpse. Wright was charged with murder, aggravated assault, and unlawful restraint, including other charges. Robinson, who investigators say fled the scene before police arrived, was charged with aggravated assault and conspiracy to murder. He was fired from the police department afterwards. The boyfriend had stripped her of her clothes, handcuffed her to a weight bench, and was using some type of baton to beat her throughout her entire body. The friend was actually helping to position the female and turn her and contort her body in certain positions so the boyfriend could beat her in those areas of her body. She leaves two young daughters in the care of her mother. Wright and Robinson crimes perpetuate a culture of toxic masculinity that desperately needs to be addressed. Of course, black women on social media reacted loudly to her murder. There's a lot of people, you know, tweeting about it and whatnot.
Makes sense.
Yeah. What's funny is I had literally would have never heard of this.
You talking about this first time I'm hearing about it.
Yeah. Like, just being on Blavity and the internet and following people and shit, I literally would have never known about this. And maybe because it wasn't trending as much or whatnot, you know, a lot of times, when people feel they're the perpetrator or identify with the perpetrator, people don't retweet. Uh-oh. People don't share. People don't comment.
Nope. And no, it ain't a man.
Yeah, they don't retweet other people talking about it. Mm-mm. You know, if it's not, it doesn't trend and things of this nature.
Because niggas don't be wanting to hear bitches complaining.
Yeah, I mean, it's a horrible crime. Like, speaking specifically to black men on some of this stuff, I would just, because also the same thing happened with Corinne Gaines, the one we talked about yesterday, mm-hmm. who was shot by the police. A lot of times what happens is that people just opt out. Like, men right. just, like, I don't have to care, so I won't. You know, I said a couple tweets about Corinne Gaines, which I think are common sense things, which were, she may have had a mental episode, I don't know. You know, what I do know is I just don't think she had to die.
Right.
You know, there was a standoff today where they waited the guy out 7 hours and it ended peacefully. I don't understand the rush to take a black life in that situation. Why is the police even shooting at them, you know, at her? I understand she's not the quote unquote perfect victim. I get it. But a lot of these motherfuckers ain't the perfect victim and we still rally around them. You know, and it's just like when it's a black woman, niggas start, they sound awfully white. You know
yes,
what I mean?
They do. They opt out. They like, that ain't got shit to do with me. What that got to do with me? It's not about me. But what about my feelings? Why ain't we talking about me? What's going on here? And they use the same tactic that a lot of racist ass white people come at you with. When you want to blame the victim and you want to have all these excuses and all of a sudden you want in all this investigation and all of a sudden we need to wear on the facts. Fuck you.
Yeah, there's a lot of why was Eric Garner selling cigarettes? Why did he even ask why they was arresting him? Just get on the ground and put your hands on your back.
No, you don't want to hear that.
Why did Philando Castile have a gun? I mean, I know it's legal, but why do you even have it? You know, yeah. Why did Alton Sterling have a gun? Why did Mike Brown hit that officer and he stole a candy bar at some point?
But you know, the thing is, when people be like, but there wasn't a video, you don't give a fuck.
Why did Walter Scott run from the police? Why did Sandra Bland mouth off? Why it's always some why shit with white people in these situations, and we all, for the most part, most black people collectively feel like, yeah, that's, I mean, they shouldn't have to die whether they did that or not.
Like, right.
Like, you're taking it to another level with the, where someone has to die because they, didn't comply in the way that you felt was the best way to comply. Not to mention there's times where people have complied, like Oscar Grant, and he still ended up dead. But what's funny is when it's specifically black women, there's another level, or black trans people, or LGBT, you know, people. All of a sudden, like, basically straight black men are like, wait a minute now, see, why was she doing this, that, and the other? And the whole point is the principle is the principle. If the principle is these people should not have to die, and we definitely treat white suspects differently in these situations, if we can't agree on that in every instance, then there's no point, there's no principle then. You know what I mean? Right. It shouldn't adjust to, well, when it's a black woman, then why did she do this, that, and the other? But when it's a black man, you don't ask those questions.
Right. And then a lot of these same niggas get mad when women which they are justified to going, y'all don't fucking support us. Why when it's me, nobody cares? Why when it's me, my timeline silent? Why, you know, say her name. And mm-hmm. all of a sudden you got to deal with niggas talking about, why, bitch? you know, say her name, and they would go, but it wasn't a man. So, and you like, what the fuck? You know, it's like, if you black and you die, you black and you dead, and you shouldn't have died no matter what you did, no matter what your sexuality is, no matter what you did in the past. If you die unjustly, you die, but I just, if you died unjustly, you died unjustly at that moment in time. That's what I'm looking at, not what you did before that moment. You lost your life unjustly. And like I said, I guess I'm old, because the way I look at it like this. She died unjustly. Wrong. If a man died unjustly, wrong. And we talked about this before. When it's men, women rally. We organize, we march in, everybody show up in numbers, period. My whole timeline, every timeline I got, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, you name it, people all up and down my timeline, okay? But when it's a woman, you get the women mad, you get the women protesting, you get the women organizing, and then when they extend their hands out, but like, hey, dog, we was at your events, why ain't you at ours? It's silent, it's crickets. Be quiet, bitches, be watching the game. Why don't y'all talk about something else? You know, I'm tired of this, and it causes unnecessary arguments all up and down my timeline, which don't make no sense, and it's never in the other direction.
Well, also, like, it's twofold, because there's like, this is police violence and intimate partner violence, right? And it hits right at that cross section where a lot of men feel uncomfortable trying to take that side, because now I'm siding, saying, black men, when it comes to this shit, we are the police. And one of the reasons I want to speak up on the shit like this is because I feel that way about police. Like, when the quote unquote good police don't say shit, they're just as responsible to me, you know? So when it's like, oh, a black man did that, well, I don't want to be the one to point that out, or let me just pretend this shit didn't happen, or why y'all got to bring this one up? All that is the way that the other cops act when a cop does some dirty shit, and then the other cops come through and they're like, I'm not going to speak about this. I'm not going to say anything about this because, you know, why y'all got to have a war on cops and shit like that? But it's like, yo, we are the cops in this situation. So it's important to me that, you know, as a black man, that I'm not going to turn away from this shit and be like, it's not happening. You know, not to mention, I mean, it more than just the police part of it, the intimate partner violence and stuff is so prevalent. There's so many women that have been abused and whatnot in this country. And the animosity that a lot of women have when they approach this topic is because it's justifiable anger. It's because of silence. It's because of also trolling. Like, there's just a ton of black men that get off on spreading that shit around. Like, I'm gonna troll you because you care. Like, oh, you care about this one, and I get to be on the side of the person that is inflicting the violence and inflicting the hurt and causing the pain. Well, let me take my time out to say something fucked up or callous or funny or whatever, because I can opt out of caring about this. You know, some of these people are abusers. You know, some of these people, like, the thing, you know, it's kind of like rape. Rape happens at such this high level, but at the same time, nobody knows a rapist. You know what I mean? Like, we know that most rapes don't get reported, but nobody knows a dude that rape. We might know a victim or two, but we don't know no actual perpetrators. Yeah, because they're not coming forward to tell you their stories. Like, that's not how that works. And the same thing goes with this shit. There's people that put their hands on women and you can't tell because they're not going to come out and say it, but you can tell through them tweets, you can tell through the jokes, you can tell through the callousness and all that shit with a lot of this stuff. And that's why motherfuckers get quiet, because maybe they didn't do it, but they have a boy who did it. Maybe their boy didn't do it, but when this shit comes up, it's all like these bitches be tripping type shit, rather than having a actual conversation where you hold them accountable, you know? Like I said, I literally wouldn't have heard about this. Like, someone retweeted it. I didn't see the hashtag or whatnot. And I don't follow that many people on Twitter, but, this is, you know, this is us being the cops as men, you know, that's us, you know, literally and figuratively, you know, having another dude come over. Like, I can't imagine a situation where somebody called my wife down while I beat her. Are you fucking crazy? I'm calling the cops, you know? And in this case, he is the cops. Who do you call? you know, and not being submissive enough. What kind of hotep shit is that? You know, but and I, like I said, I've noticed it with Korean Gaines. Like, it's been a lot of, well, she shouldn't do this and she shouldn't do that and she's wrong for this and she's wrong for that. And like I said, we don't do that the other way. Like, we just don't. Like, Alton Sterling is a dude that, you know, was essentially convicted of having sex with an underage girl at one point. That shit was trending. His hashtag was trending. People were marching in the streets. People still use his name as an example today. If you were to say, what about the killings of Philando Castile and Alton Sterling, that's what's gonna, people are gonna bring that up. Even after Korean Gaines, I guarantee you Alton Sterling and Philando Castile will be the names that people continue to bring up. And I do think that we gravitate towards black men. You know, so many people make that statement. Like, how many people didn't say anything, but, you know, celebrities, people that I support and love, but when they came to talk, they go, well, they're killing our black men. You know, well, they're raping our black women. They're killing our black women too. Like, it's not just a black man thing, but black men are just easier to rally around as the quote unquote endangered species and all this other stuff. But that love just isn't reciprocated. So I understand the animosity. Like, people are coming at it and they're being like, hey, black men, I know you're not saying shit. I see you just over there kikiing about some other shit and y'all don't want to talk about this. And I think that makes black men feel uncomfortable. So then they opt out of talking about it, just like white people do when they feel uncomfortable. But the comfort of the dominant group should not be the number one consideration when it comes to spreading awareness about this shit. So yeah, man, I just, when I saw this, I just thought it was just like an interesting, article. It's on Blavity. And I think it's called, it's by Aaron Logan, and it's called We Need to Talk About the Toxic Masculinity That Killed Joyce Kwaye. So
right, and something else that, you know, we talked about it before, but men aren't emotional though.
Yeah. Yep. It's, you know, it's just funny. So it's because, and also I think a lot of dudes show their outrage and shit in a different way. They don't necessarily hashtag and tweet it and fucking organize in that way. A lot of dudes try to keep the shit bottled up inside for themselves, and you know, they think, just thinking to themselves like, oh, this dude's a bitch, and then just leave it and that's it for them. Oh, look at this, is a punk ass dude. I heard this story and I'm like, fuck those dudes. But I think also we have the luxury of not seeing the connecting dots that lead to these things. Like, it's a bunch of reasons that it gets to the mentality where you think you own a woman so completely you could beat her, call a friend over to help you do it. Obviously, these dudes are some level of an anomaly. You know, even if some people that are abusive, I doubt that it's common to put somebody into that abuse. Like, hey, buddy, can you help me abuse my wife tonight? But even still, just the fact that people ignore every step and every comment up to this point, it leads up to when this shit happens, there's no way that you're going to be outspoken about it. There's no way that you're going to feel comfortable talking about it, you know, because a lot of dudes have already spent so much time poo-pooing every other thing, street harassment, harassment at work, sexual assault. Like, you, when you just shit on all this other stuff, when you get to the point where someone gets killed, you already set up a negative connotation towards the victims of these crimes, right? It's like motherfuckers that defended Bill Cosby are not going to step up and tweet about this. Now, how many people were doing that? You know what I mean? Basically, they had to be shamed out of it. It wasn't like they had an awakening and all these people came around. It's just like it got so unpopular and uncool that they just were ashamed of defending Bill Cosby. And I still expect those people to come back when he's found not guilty. But
yep.
The point being, I think a lot of times people just opt out because of this. Well, black men just opt out because of this. And the shit doesn't go viral and it's not going to trend. And they become so obsessed with being in the group that's being generalized about. You know, there's a lot of black men don't do this. I'm a black man and I never do this. And it's like, I'm a black man, I don't do it. And you know what? I don't say shit. You know what I mean? I have nothing negative to say to somebody who talks about it, because one, that's probably their experience. Two, I notice that other black men do a lot of shit. You know what I mean? Like, it ain't that, you know, it's not that crazy to be like, okay, yeah, we can, you know, as a group can be problematic, we can have privilege, we can insult people, we can get away with it, we can hide behind the idea of not having to care, because it really won't affect us in the long run. It does us no advantage to care, and it's not very much of a disadvantage to not care. But you know, but that's what happens, you know. And people are already leaving comments on this joint, so but yeah, a lot of this stuff is you know, easy to ignore or whatever for people that it's not affecting. But I just thought that was an interesting story, and interesting take on it on Blavity. Let's see what else happened. This black owned business creates school supplies for celebrating black culture.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Innovative Supplies is a black owned online retail store. It's owned and operated by a 27-year-old mom and soon to be college student Ineka, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Ineka, with the hopes of becoming a history teacher in her local area. She began Innovative Supplies as the first step to a bigger vision of being a positive change in her community. Innovative Supplies includes notebooks and apparel that showcases black art by black artists and weave together elements of black culture from the past and the present. Her goals for Innovative Solutions are just as impactful as the business itself, which includes depositing profits into a black-owned bank, hiring local minority youth, and using environmentally sourced materials. If you browse through Innovative Supplies' website, you'll soon understand why products sold out in less than 24 hours. Damn. Some of her handmade supplies, schools.
A lot of that underserved market.
Exactly.
Like that's what happens. Underserved market.
And it goes viral, and you can never anticipate the need,
demand.
The demand. Yeah, you just can't. You'll soon understand why. So she says, she has included a notebook, with an image of Tupac Shakur wearing a t-shirt that says the words, "I am Sandra Bland," drawn by artist at Raheem 81 Art. Another notebook that is stated to be coming soon has the iconic Michael Jordan crime meme in various sizes all over it, which is sure to make your classmates, even a few professors, laugh out loud. Whenever 8550 orders, with over 8,550 orders, I thought that was the name of the company.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, to ship out before she can take new orders, Ineka and Innovative Supplies are off to an amazing start. Along with the dope designs that Ineka offers on her site, customers can even request custom designs, making her business one that is sure to represent all that encompasses black culture and excellence. There's no question that Innovative Supplies is living up to its motto of being the company that stands to bridge the gap between minority-owned businesses and helping to foster more group economics. I wonder what's going to happen when she can put a GIF on there. Mm. That's what we need. We need GIF notebooks. Like, you open it up, and it's like the scene where from Thin Line where their car got burned, you know. Oh, no, not Thin Line. From... was it Waiting as Hell when she burned the car? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Angela Waiting as Hell. Yeah, you open it up and Angela Bassett burned the car on your notebook. Ah!
That'd be greatness.
Get them black gifts up in there. Mm-hmm. You know, some memes, you know, Maxwell making that face. Shit like that. But yeah, it's real cool.
The lady from How to Get Away with Murder when she picks up her pocketbook and shakes her face.
Yes.
That's my favorite gym.
I want that shit on the back of my book bag. This is what the designs look like.
Ooh, can you put the link in the thing? Well, I mean,
this is just a link to the well, it's sold out, but this is just a link to the article. But I think the website link is innovativesupplies.net, and they're sold out currently, so I don't know what that means for you know, what that means for the rest of us, but that's the link I just put in the chat. But let's see, she also has ones with
I'm gonna start this, and she got an email you can sign this.
It's a website for? I don't know, you have to check it out. That's the Tupac, I'm Sandra Bland. They got the Be Unique, you know, it got some Egyptian art in there too, so it might be Hotepi. I don't know the rules, But
I like the one with McCall with the question marks.
Question marks?
Yeah. Which one was that? Is that Swaggy?
Swaggy P?
You
want to put that on a notebook?
No, she got it with Swaggy P all across it with question marks. And he was like, what?
That's what I'm talking about. That's what we need. Food stamp use is dropping due to restored work requirements. The number of people receiving food stamps has declined sharply, in part due to reinstatement of work requirements earlier this year. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA, allowed states to waive work requirements in response to the 2009 recession. Requirements were restored in 22 states in January in response to improved economic conditions. The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities found in an analysis of recently released department data that the program declined by 773,000 people in April. Caseloads fell sharply in April, especially in states reinstating the three-month time limit for unemployed childless adults without disabilities. New Agriculture Department data showed CBPP detail in this report. The data covering the first month in which most of the roughly 20 states were that imposed a time limit in January began cutting people off. So on the one hand, they restore work requirements so that people can go back to work, I assume, but also this shit is cutting off people's benefits.
When you say this, I have a lot of questions with that. Who have never had to deal, when I grew up, I was on I think Medicare and stuff like that. What they did was that people who actually qualified for it got it, and people who otherwise without these work requirements got it. Once you start putting in these work requirements, a lot of times the little bit of money they do make qualifies them out because you quote unquote make too much money. The way the system is designed, it's designed to keep you in the system. Like a lot of times most people are where they need just a little bit of help for a short period of time. They don't want to give you a little bit of help for a short period of time. They want you permanently on the system, and that's the problem. It's like the thing is, it's sad, but don't be single and like don't have kids or don't have disability or anything like that, because I think the first time Roderick lost his job, I went to try to qualify for food stamps and shit like that, because you know what, just because when you lose your job, shit matters, and you go from a two-person income to a one-person income. Your household is affected. Duke Power don't stop. The water don't stop. This shit just don't stop just because your company decides to let you go. And depending on where you work at, you may get severance, may not get severance. You know, you work in the food industry, you don't get anything. And what's fucked up was that when you go in, they ask so many personal questions. Like, people who have never had to deal with the system do not understand how the system functions. They ask you, do you have a checking account? Do you have a savings account? Do you own a car? Do you have a washer? Do you have a dryer? You know, do you own audio equipment? Do you own TVs? Does anybody give you any money? You have any trust funds? Like, they want to know everything about you. And when you sign these papers and they find out you're lying, they come and they could sue the fuck out of you and take everything you got. So when I went through that, I was like, oh, fuck this. Like, I'm not jumping through these hoops for this little bit of money. And that's what they do. They make it so hard and so complex that for the average person, they'll go, fuck it. You know, and on top of that, what they don't tell you is that a lot of times what they do, they make it so goddamn inconvenient. Let's say you do get through it. You have to meet with somebody at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday. Who the fuck gonna be able to get there at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday? You know, I had to work. You know, but let's say I didn't have to work. Let's say I was in a position where I had to use public transportation. You know, let's say public transportation don't get there on time. And a lot of times when you deal with these services and you walk in the door, depending on where you at, people make all kinds of assumptions about you. They assumed I was a single mother. They assumed, you know, I had kids. You know, once you eliminate a lot of these things, a lot of times they look at you like, why are you here? And then a lot of times, depending on where you at, it's so fucking humiliating. A lot of times they demean you, they talk down to you. Like, this is the part that people don't really tell you about when it comes to this. A lot of times they don't treat you like you're a fucking human being. A lot of times your taxes go to these systems and pay for these systems, but when you have to use these systems, they make it so where it's impossible to.
Yeah, I agree. You know, for the most part, I feel like when it comes to, you know, something like food stamps, there's also the shame attached to it, you know. But using work restrictions, basically what you're saying is you have to work, I think, 20 hours a week or else you lose your benefits after 3 months. So if you can't find a job, you lose food stamps, right? Which, how does that help?
It doesn't help you. And I think that's the thing that frustrates me the most. The but like this, in my personal opinion, the system is designed for you to depend on it. That is, it's literally designed for you to depend on it. And if you
See, that's the thing though. That's the way they talk. Like, well, it's designed for you to depend on it, so that's why we're kicking you off. Like, this is the bootstraps mentality, the what we like, us kicking you off of food stamps gives you the battery in your back to go get a real job and put in a real day's work. That's the way, that's the same language they use.
Okay, right. But when I use it, I'm not using it from that point. I'm saying it's designed for you to I feel like this, most people need a little bit of help. So even if you have these work restrictions, they need to be broader, they need to be wider, some of the dollar requirements need to be lower to help people get to the point that they can get off. That's my thing. I'm not saying it of they want you to depend on it as far as be on it for the rest of your life. Nobody wants to be on these services for the rest of their lives. And truth be told, a lot of people use code words when it comes to this because they want you to think welfare, black. Food stamps, brown people. When truth be told, white people are on it more than any other group because you're more the population.
All right. It says it's so basically there, and the thing is, they had a lot of people get on because they lowered the requirements in 2009. At some point you knew they were going to adjust back. It doesn't seem like it was very gradual. It was just strictly you got 3 months to figure something out at the beginning of the year, which seems pretty harsh. It says 45 states saw participation declines. 43.6 million people is the lowest since 2010, and it's dropped 4.2 million since peaking in December 2012. Some states began restoring requirements in 2015 in response to improved economic conditions. Work requirements have now been restored in a total of 40 states. Either a waiver or compared to 44 states this past June that had either a waiver or a partial waiver. The USDA works with state agencies to make sure benefits are properly distributed to qualified individuals and families. So I mean, it's better for it. It definitely is a good sign for the economy that people are able to get off. But the question is, are they getting off and they're eating still and they're fine? Like, what's the measurement on that? Because right. Just having someone off of the program doesn't mean shit if they're now homeless or not eating or whatever. Right. Then that's the real measurement of if it was a success or not.
Right. And that's kind of my point too, where most people just need a little bit of help. They don't need full-fledged service. They just need a little bit of help just to get them over a hump or just to get them through a tough time. And the thing is, okay, now these people don't qualify and you put them off. Like you said, baby, it wasn't gradual. It was like, right. Hey, y'all, you need to find something quick and in a hurry. Cause if you don't, we're cutting your shit off. But your kids still gotta eat. You still gotta eat. You know, you still have obligations. You still have shit you need to do. You know, we were talking about a system that if you tell them you got a car, they'll tell you to sell your car. And you're like, well, bitch, I needed to get back and forth to work. They was like, oh, your car is valued at such and such. You could take that and you could do other things with that. Like, that's the part that frustrates me when it comes to this, because it's like, hey, I need my car to take my child to daycare that you're paying for. But without my car, I'm not able to do that. But you turn around telling me to sell my car because my car has too much value. I don't comprehend the system. The system is not really there to, in my opinion, at all times, it's not really there to get you to the point that you don't need it anymore.
All right. Donald Trump has gone crazy in the last 24 hours. He's done 7 things that Raw Story has kept afloat of. It's getting weird because, like, there's a rumor that the GOP is trying to find another candidate, but the only way he can leave the race is he has to voluntarily leave.
And y'all,
why would he do that? This is the closest he's ever been.
And y'all just had the RNC, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I
just had the convention. Yeah.
Right. So nobody at the convention was like, got on that mic and was like, "Hey, y'all don't vote for him." What you said was, "Don't vote with your conscience." That's as close as we got.
Well, you know what's weird is about it to me is, they all co-signed them, and because they think racism is better than losing,
of course.
So, you know, this idea that he's gonna somehow step aside for them, for a party that he doesn't belong to or own, why would he do that? I don't understand what the motivation would be for him.
Right but, and he's not giving back to, you have other people running, almost like Bernie. Do you see him giving money to other candidates running to help them get reelected?
Mm-mm. So he refused to endorse Paul Ryan. That's because months ago, they asked Paul Ryan, who was Speaker of the House, if he would endorse Donald Trump, and he said he wasn't quite there yet at the time. Tuesday, Trump was asked if he endorsed the speaker for re-election, and Trump replied that he's just not quite there yet on how he feels about Paul Ryan. So little payback, little pettiness. Mm-hmm. He mansplained away sexual harassment. We talked about that, where he said that basically getting sexually harassed is up to the individual. It also depends on what's available. There may be a better alternative than there may not. If there's not a better alternative, then you stay. But it could be there's a better alternative when you're taking care, where you're taking care of better. So get a different job if you're getting sexually harassed, everybody.
Apparently.
He refused to endorse John McCain and belittled his commitment to veterans, because John McCain basically came out and said he was wrong about questioning the parents of the Muslim dude who was a hero and died in our army. So he, you know, basically said Trump was wrong for that, even though he endorsed Trump. And even though Trump called him, he questioned his heroicness when he said that, he's not a hero to me. I'm more of a fan of people that don't get caught in war. So, he said the Kazir can is against him, because he's bothered by Trump's position on radical Islam terrorists. So he's not against him because of the Islamophobia Trump has. It's because he's against terrorism. And of course, that's the real problem. He also pocketed a veteran's Purple Heart medal and said, "I've always wanted to have a Purple Heart." That's just crazy. I can't believe that happened. I didn't see this video or hear about this. Apparently,
he dodged war. Okay.
Yeah, he accepted a veteran's Purple Heart, the medal the U.S. military awards to service members who are injured in combat. "I always wanted to have a Purple Heart. This was much easier, but I tell you, it was such an honor." Yeah, you got to give that back. You don't accept that. Like, I appreciate you trying to give it to me, but you earned that. You got wounded in Vietnam, not me. Six, he doesn't seem entirely certain who he's running against. Well, basically, he just picked a fight with Senator Kelly Ayotte, or Ayotte, I don't know how you pronounce it, but that's just them being snarky. And he picked a fight with a baby. This is also them being snarky, but basically, it's also kind of true, which is that he basically picked a fight with a woman who was holding a baby. A baby was at his rally, and he said that he loves babies and he didn't mind that the baby was crying, and then he kicked her out because he said he doesn't love babies, and she was stupid to think that he actually did love babies. That didn't make any sense. Basically, he was being sarcastic.
"That baby, I love babies, so actually I was only kidding. You can get the baby out Don't worry about that, baby. I love babies. So, actually, I was only kidding. You can get the baby out of here.
Yeah, it's kind of low, but yeah, he basically said, I was kidding. You got to get that baby out of here. Kicked out. Because he's a classy guy like that. President of the United States, y'all. That's very presidential. So, good luck. All right, let's play some fucking with black people. Where's my songs? All right.
See, I already been fucked with, but come on.
Mm-hmm. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks.
We're just fucking with
black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe and we count, we find stories and we give them scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25, for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. Let's start in Chicago. A Chicago investigator got fired for finding cops at fault in deadly police brutality cases. Oh, must have been, that's literally when you're one of the good ones. When they go, yep, let's fire this motherfucker because he is finding out too much shit. Yeah, they fired an investigator from the city of Chicago after he determined that police were at fault in several fatal shootings. Lorenzo Davis, 65, found that several civilian shootings, including those which resulted in death, were completely unjustified. After issuing these reports, he was fired. He says that's because he resisted direct orders to fabricate and reverse those findings, according to internal records of his agency obtained by Chicago's WBEZ. Now, here's what's amazing about this to me is when these things happen, so many times the people that investigate the crimes of the police department are police. And we've all seen, for I don't know why, but we all watch TV and see what cops hate internal investigators and internal affairs. Okay? But somehow this is okay. Like, it's just, we supposed to figure it out. The staff of the Independent Police Review Authority received an internal email July 9th from Scott M. Ando, the chief administrator of the Independent Police Review Authority, explaining that they will no longer employ and the supervisor and investigator Lorenzo Davis, a former Chicago police commander. Davis's termination came less than 2 weeks after top IPRA officials evaluating his job performance accused him of a clear bias against police and called him the only supervisor in IPRA who resists making requested changes as directed by management in order to reflect the correct finding with respect to OIS, which is officer involved shootings. So, hey man, you need to change your facts that you found as an investigator to match what we say, which is that we are never at fault. So they said it's a personnel matter that would be inappropriate to address through the media, so they're not even telling people the specifics. But in his performance review, Davis, a former police commander, was said to display a complete lack of objectivity combined with a clear bias against police in spite of his own lengthy police career. That's a quote. yeah, you was a cop for 23 years. You hate the cops. You couldn't just be holding us accountable. You
probably
couldn't
never
just
had any problems, never had any issues, right? Nothing.
Transparency, right? It's all about that transparency. Until it gets a little too transparent. Then it's like, you gotta turn this shit down, bro. I don't know what you think you're doing here, but we wasn't actually trying to find no killers.
Ah!
We was just kind of hoping that, this shit would go away if you would, just kind of turn the other way and let us erase and change several facts on your sheet.
He's like, what the fuck? No.
They called him not a team player.
Because he told the truth.
Mm-hmm. Davis also said, as a commander, he said, I did not like the direction the police department had taken. He did not have a bias against the police. He said he had an informed observation about the direction the department was taking. It appeared that officers were doing whatever they wanted to do. The discipline was no longer there. If there are a few bad police officers who have committed some shootings that are unnecessary or bad, when it arose to public's confidence in all the other police officers out there. Yeah, exactly. His final evaluation said he wasn't a team player. Davis said his employers only turned against him when he found 6 police shootings or civilians to be unjustified. They have shot people dead when they did not have to shoot. They were not in reasonable fear for their lives. The evidence shows that the officer knew or should have known that the person who they shot was not armed or did not pose a threat to them or could have been apprehended by means short of deadly force.
They don't want to hear that.
Nope.
Because that's what the general public is saying.
Yep. 0 to 100, Karen. 100 for me as well. That 100 was brought to you by Bevel. That's right. This system is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game. Say goodbye to razor bumps. Get clearer, smoother skin with Bevel. Nas is an early investigator in the company.
And, investigator?
You know, I'm sorry. He's not investigating it for crimes. I'm sorry. He's an investor.
Okay.
Sorry, I just read that long ass story and said investigated 37 times. He's an early investor in the company, and you know he's woke, so he would never have you out here looking bad. I mean, the godson's face is always immaculately sharp. So don't you want to be like Nas in the facial area? It's created by a black man, Tristan Walker, who's a young entrepreneur who wanted to cater to the unique shaving needs of black men. And also, man, their Twitter account, if you tell them that you got it, a lot of times they'll respond to it and say what's up and all that stuff. So I appreciate y'all to take the time out to do that. And they want to give you a discount of 20% when you go to getbevel.com and put in code TBGWT. Get 20% off your first month. Getbevel.com, code TBGWT. More sism. A pastor suspects racial motivations behind his termination.
Good evening. I'm Candace Barnett. Wade Phillips is off tonight. We begin with a local church pastor who was fired last night. Mount Sterling Baptist Church in Butler let Pastor Jonathan Greer go. Greer is now talking to News Center 11 tonight about the situation and how he says race played a role in his termination. Tom Williams has more in tonight's top story.
Mount Sterling Baptist Church in Butler, without a pastor as of Sunday evening. Pastor Jonathan Greer's termination was put to a vote, 31 people unanimously voting him out of the church. This comes after he says a deacon told him he could not invite black people to their vacation Bible school.
There was pushback about where the types of children that we were bringing in, and I was asked to not invite black children to the VBS.
I spoke with Freddie Moore, who was a deacon at Mount Sterling Baptist Church. He did not want to go on camera for an interview, but he says it's not a race issue whatsoever. He says Greer wouldn't work with the deacons. He claims the termination was because he would not visit members of the congregation. Moore says Greer only visited a few.
This was a particular deacon that did ask me, and ultimately two deacons that had asked me not to invite black people.
Moore says anyone, regardless of race, is welcome to their church at any time. Pastor Greer says that's what he was led to believe when he first joined the church.
What they really mean is that someone can wander in off the street and they won't stop them, but they specifically explicitly asked me to not invite black people. And I tried to communicate with them that that's just not consistent with Christianity.
Greer says the deacons wanted him to resign from the church quietly. Due to the church bylaws, Greer chose not to. He says his sermon on Sunday was on racism.
I wanted the church to
get
know that this is not consistent with the gospel. This is not consistent with God's word, that we honor and give dignity to all people. That's what the Bible teaches us, and all people are worthy and in need of the gospel. And racism denies that to a certain amount of people.
In Butler, Tom Williams, News Center 11.
Jonathan Greer wants to make clear that he did not contact WTOK for an interview, and he felt it was best to talk about the situation since News Center 11 started inquiring. Now, he has been pastor of Mount Sterling Baptist Church for a year and a half.
This yellow potato salad, dog, is for you, bro. Come on to the cookout and get you a plate, man. I appreciate you actually being a person of conviction, because typically in those situations people go along to get along and just don't want to cause any waves. I mean, terminated from that position has to mean a lot to a person like that, but the position is worthless if you can't uphold your values, specifically religiously.
And he was like, oh word, so you know what I'm gonna do on my way out the door? I'm gonna tell y'all about actually, the racist shit.
Actually, he wanted to make clear. He said it wasn't him going to tell on them. He said people started, the news started inquiring, and he just answered the questions. Like, this wasn't him calling the news to be like, and I'm about to put y'all on blast.
No. They say he gave a sermon about
racism. Oh, you're talking about the sermon. Oh, right. Okay. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
He was like, oh, y'all gonna tell me I can't let niggas in here. Word. So what I'm gonna do is tell y'all how this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna leave. And my thing is that they voted unanimously because he quote unquote didn't visit some people.
Yeah.
Not about the racism. Not about your.
Because he didn't visit some people.
Right. Not about your. Because.
Not the.
Who are you finna try? I bet it ain't me. Oh, bitch, it ain't me. Cats. Who are you finna.
That was his final sermon. That was just a clip.
Right. Because it's one of those things. It's just so fucked up. And I believe him. Because all across the country, people have been, you know, sending their children to vacation Bible study. And you know, it's just one of those things where, like he said, it's okay if people quote unquote wander in, but don't tell them to come in here. No.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me. I appreciate him standing up for his values.
Yep.
Because a lot of times people just don't. You know, you had an option to be like, I'm not gonna do that shit. I'm not gonna stand up for anything. I'm just about to take this L and be quiet. I love that he gave them that sermon that I'm sure was in his heart. And we need more of that. Like, we need more people that speak up rather than just leave silently or just fade to the background or just try not to say anything when the stuff comes up. There's a lot of Christians that feel like some of the discrimination there, whether it's race and gender and all this other stuff, is not acceptable. And then instead of trying to take their church back or to speak up, they just go, this ain't my fight. Let me just keep giving them my money every Sunday and act like it's not happening. So I appreciate the dude for speaking up.
Me too.
I'm not fucked with it at all. I mean, I'm fucked with by that racism of that church, but yes. Nothing on his behalf. So zero for him and 100 for that damn church.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else is happening. Parents of teenagers jailed for firing police officers blame Black Lives Matter, says the movement wants people to shoot police. I know you're distraught about your sons doing this stuff, but that's not what Black Lives Matter is about. The parents of two boys who are behind bars after they opened fire on a group of police officers have blamed Black Lives Matter for the teenagers' actions. Marcaro Rentes, who was 17, and his cousin Trenton Nance, 18, were arrested on Friday after officers in the borough of Columbia, Pennsylvania, came under fire for 45 minutes when they responded to an emergency call from someone who said they heard gunshots. No officers were shot or injured in the attack. Police were able to eventually gain access to the house and arrest the teenagers with court papers claiming that Markel told the men, I'm the one who did it. I'm the one who shot. My cousin didn't do it. He later said, while being loaded into a police cruiser, I ain't no pussy. I was shooting at you. Fuck you, police. Now his mother and Trenton's father are both saying in separate interviews that this is the fault of a movement they claim wants people to hurt the law enforcement officials. They are in jail for doing what Black Lives Matter wanted them to do, shoot at cops, said his mother, Luz Rentes, and Trenton's father, Roberto Rentes, in a joint statement. The truth is that these are two punk kids following the orders of an irresponsible organization, and now they're going to pay for it. Kevin Ressler, a pastor and co-organizer of Black Lives Matter chapter in Lancaster, responded to this by making it clear that the movement does not promote violence in any way. It's very important that people understand Black Lives Matter groups across the country, and particularly here locally, have been very vocal about it. Do not support violence. No Black Lives Matter organization or group across the entire country has supported violence as a means to an end, or shooting or attacking or targeting police officers at all. The police report claims that officers were dispatched to the area around 3:25 a.m. on a Friday in response to shots fired. The first two officers on the scene soon realized the shots were being fired at their patrol cars, at which point a perimeter was set up and more members of law enforcement were sent to the location. Marcaro was identified as a potential suspect by police resources, who discovered he was staying at the home from which the shots appeared to be coming, and after speaking to his mother. So, Trenton was found in another bedroom with no weapon, but live rounds and empty shell cases were found in his front right pocket. So why would you have those unless you were, you had been shooting a gun at some point? Yeah, so, 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, 100.
All right, 100 for Karen. 100 for me as well. Let me switch sessions real quick. But yeah, I obviously 100. That's pretty damn ridiculous.
That's against everything that these organizations, Black Lives Matter, Black Liberation Movement, whatever group you want to put them in.
Yeah, nobody stands for shooting the cops. Nobody's okay with that.
Be responsible for your fucking actions.
Yeah. But yeah, 0 to 100, and that is 100 for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see, what else do we want to talk about? Let's go to Guess the Race. Or actually, yeah, what are we gonna say?
There you go.
Okay. Actually, we should go to white people news. Let me find some songs that white people love real quick. People keep trying to suggest shit to me. I don't want y'all to suggest stuff. I like finding it on my own, using my own mind on the fly, and just guessing what kind of stuff white people enjoy. Actually, I think I even had a white people list on here.
You did. I forgot what you called it.
Mm-hmm. Let me see. It's gotta be white something, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not it.
No, do you call it cheese eater?
Cheese. Yeah, it was cheese. That's right, Karen. Cause we know cheese eating music. That's what white people are into.
I remember now. That's what you called it.
Alright, so here's one that, that white people love.
Hey. You're insecure, don't know what for. You're turning heads when you walk out the door. Don't need makeup to cover up. Being the way that you are is enough. Everyone else in the room can see it. Everyone else but you. Baby, you light up my world like nobody else. The way that you flip your hair gets me overwhelmed. But when you smile at the crowd, it ain't hard to tell you don't know. You don't know you're beautiful. If only you saw what I can see. But I want you so desperately. Right now you're looking there, and I can't believe you don't know. You don't know you're beautiful. That's just why you're beautiful. So come on. You got it wrong.
All right. That's enough, white people. I'm sorry. The Duke of Northumberland.
I thought you were saying the Duke of Nothing. I was like, what kind of Duke is this?
The Duke of Northumberland moans that his family has been imprisoned in their castle by hordes of curious Harry Potter and Downton Abbey fans.
That's a real problem.
It all started with residents of the unremarkable village of Kendleton in Oxfordshire. I think that's where the hobbits met up with the trolls. wondered why coachlands of Chinese tourists were poking around their gardens. But now the blue-blooded Duke of Northumberland is getting in on the act too and moaning that his family has been imprisoned inside of their 11th century castle by nosy Harry Potter and Downton Abbey fans. Ralph Percy said his wife and four children were unable to enter or leave the 150-room castle without meeting crowds of tourists, forcing them to stay inside.
Shit.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't...
What, they think a dragon gonna pop out this bitch? What's happening here?
I don't know. Tired of being confined to the castle keep, the family has chosen another home on the Scottish borders at this as a summer residence. Alnwick Castle featured as Hogwarts in the first two Harry Potter films and as Brancaster Castle in Downton Abbey's 2014 and 2015 Christmas specials. It now attracts more than 250,000 visitors per year, something that is posing problems for Eton and Oxford educated 12th Duke.
So it's like the location, so people just come to check it out. They ain't got no organization behind it, so you just go outside in your backyard looking at the flowers and somebody just peeking on the other side of the thorns or some shit.
He told the September issue of Tatler, it didn't really work because we couldn't get in or out without going through crowds. And because we live in the keep, there were no private gardens, so the children just ended up staying inside the whole time. I mean, inside a whole lot of rooms. I mean, one of them rooms is probably like a big ass garden. But the Duke, who is thought to be worth €350 million, and inherited his title in 1995, can be reassured that the castle fame is reeling in plenty of cash. Apparently the tourism and television industry has yielded them an estimated €4.3 million, so they're not hurting for money doing this.
Mm-mm.
But you can go visit and stand next to cardboard cutouts of Harry Potter, stuff like that. That's some white people news for sure. It's like the whitest thing I read today.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift has returned to social media by posting a video of her cat. Mm-hmm.
Ha ha ha.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So she went on Instagram and tried out their newest feature. She broke the silence by posting a video of her cat Olivia Benson using the picture and video social networking new innovation Stories. So she tried out Instagram Stories and broke her silence by showing her cat. Taylor could be heard saying, "What's going on? You feel less like a cat and more like a squirrel today." Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm. Hard hitting things. Now I want to see the cat's recording of what she really said from the cat's perspective, because she might have left some stuff out.
You don't say.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So there you guys go. Taylor Swift is back, and she's got her cat out. This is a follow-up to some white people news. Remember that Fox Business producer and real estate big shot that got arrested in the New York cocaine bus?
Mm-hmm.
They both pleaded guilty, and they will only serve 5 days of community service. Because it don't get no whiter than that, y'all.
What?
Yep, there was all this, like, this big sting operation and everything. They lost their jobs, I think, and they will spend a grand total of 5 days of community service.
Community service, not house arrest or not probation. How many hours they got to do? 5 hours?
5 days of community service is what it says.
An hour a day?
Mm. Yep. It was all rich people that got caught up. Wealthy New Yorkers, including Chipotle's chief marketing officer, Mark Krumkacker. She was fired. The Fox News lady was fired when she got it, was hauled into court. But,
Because this was ended up being a big, busted. It busted a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. But, they'll be doing that total of 5 days.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Mm-hmm. They ordered drugs over the phone.
Do text messages.
You know the drug business that you run.
They slid in the DMs, all right.
Candy makes you dandy. At any rate, that's what happened. So, Armani rules out Tom Hiddleston of taking over the underwear campaign from his girlfriend Taylor Swift's ex, Calvin Harris, due to their romance. So Tom Hiddleston was going to be the next crotch of Armani underwear. He was in consideration for it, but now he'll no longer be in consideration because Calvin Harris used to be the face, I mean the crotch of Armani underwear, and now since they both dated Taylor Swift, Armani feels that they would not be comfortable making that transition. So it looks like he won't be getting that job. So
oh, is this discrimination?
It's not, I mean, this Taylor Swift is the one coming between it. I guess they don't hire Taylor Swift's exes anymore.
Right, so.
Her current man. Maybe when they both get divorced or break up.
Right, so that's like a woman, two women, they go, you know what? Because of your man, we're not hiring either one of y'all.
Well, they already hired the one dude. And so they basically don't want to give it to Tom Hiddleston next because obviously there's a awkwardness of going to Taylor Swift's exes as the only spokespeople for, or current boyfriend as the only spokespeople for the brand. So there you guys go.
They both probably look generically white to me. I don't know what they look like. I couldn't tell the difference.
Tom Hiddleston is Loki.
Ah, okay. Now I know who Loki is.
Yeah. So, you know, so yeah, there you guys go. That's your white people news for the day. Yeah. All caught up on what the trivial shit white people are talking about.
Aha, it's amazing.
Black people talking about black men killing black women and not supporting the perfect, unless it's the perfect victim of police brutality and
this is my favorite segment.
And then we get to clean it up with Taylor Swift's cat and some other shit. Actually, wait, I have one more white news story. This was actually originally in fucking with black people, but I can fit in both. Iggy Azalea is expanding her reach into television, and the rapper has signed a first look overall deal with Universal Cable Productions and Wilshire Studios. According to the Hollywood Reporter, she will reportedly be working with both studios on making millennial focused programming. She is said to be focusing on shows that address social justice and empowering women. Iggy Azalea.
She's gonna do just as good a job as Charles Barkley.
Right now I'm the Nick Young meme with the question marks. I guess it's just horrible TV show. I want to be in the room with the execs when they come up with horrible talk show ideas.
But then why can't we get a TV show then? I mean, come on.
I think we need to come up with the ideas like the Romance Hour starring Chris Brown.
Yes.
You know, if apparently we the horrible ideas are just gonna flow, we might as well get in on this, you know. Finance 101, MC Hammer production, you know. Get him in here to get your life right, you know.
Get your life together.
Like I assume that's what we need. Apparently, this is what the problem is. I mean, Iggy Australia, who did the Runaway Slave Master and who thinks Becky is a true racial slur, that's the person you want to give a platform to discuss.
Who black sense? So when she does it, is she gonna do it in her black sense or her regular ass voice?
Right. Yeah. Which voice is she gonna do it in? I don't know. So yeah, we'll see what happens. The Don Olmstead, who's executive VP of development, said Iggy is a strong, passionate voice for her generation and has incredible creative instincts in all aspects of media. We already have projects in both scripted and non-scripted areas. We are very excited to have her join forces with us. So there you go. Now you caught up on all the white people news, guys. All right.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen, and you in the audience, to Woo-hoo! Guess the race. And the chat room plays along in our races. All right, story number one.
Isn't this brought to you by somebody?
It is brought to you by Loot Crate. Thank you, Karen. Finally, you did it the right time. Woo-hoo! Without making me feel bad. This episode is brought to you by Loot Crate, which is a monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter code TBGWT to get $3 off of any subscription. Right now, August is all about anti-heroes, okay? You can do stuff like get into the loot wear. Level up is now loot wear, okay, guys? Which means you can add an additional couple dollars to your box and you get gear, okay? It's okay to be a little bad when you look this good in the loot wear anti-hero collection, featuring Vengeful Suicide Squad and Punisher socks, a World of Warcraft tee you can't forsake, a Harley Quinn item from her for her and you, that you'll go nuts over, and an Archer wearable that'll make you sploosh. Phrasing. So make sure you guys go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT, enter code TBGWT to save $3 off of whichever new subscription you sign up for. It helps out. Get those 6 to 8 items of licensed gear, apparel, and collectibles at lootcrate.com/TBGWT. A cross-dressing bandit holds up a Staten Island bank with a water gun and flees while stripping down to their underwear.
Okay.
A cross-dressing bank robber has been busted for sticking up a Staten Island bank last month at gunpoint. That is quite interesting attempted. Okay. Jordan Y strode into the Santander Bank on July 25th wearing a black dress, silver high heel shoes, a black floppy hat, and large sunglasses. The straps from his white bra are visible in the bank surveillance video. Wise 24 pulled a silver gun on the teller and made off with $780 in cash. He fled to King Deli down and the block and ditched his outfit, including the bra. Deli surveillance camera captured Wise stripping down to his skivvies in an empty aisle. He made his getaway topless, clad only in dungaree shorts and white sneakers. NYPD detective Michael Gildea stated that Wise surrendered Sunday and confessed to the robbery. He claimed the weapon was a water gun. It is my conclusion that the person seen on the video robbing the bank and the defendant are one and the same. Wise appeared in Brooklyn federal court looking drowsy and distracted, prompting the magistrate judge to ask, "Do you understand what I'm saying?" Wise said he understood and was ordered held without bail. Guess the race of Jordan Wise, the cross-dressing bandit.
I say sleeping in the bed with my dog White.
All right, let's check the chat room and see what they believe the race of Jordan Wise is.
I'm not as creative as y'all are.
You know what? You just getting back in the game. You just getting your footing back.
Because I hadn't played in a while.
You know, it's not really fair to
judge. Y'all are masters out there.
I don't really see anybody guessing. I guess is there a delay in here or something? If he's still alive, White, rest in peace, Tamir White. Oh, yeah, I know, right? They killed him for playing with a gun. Black. White, black, says Uncle Bob. All right. The White says Cass always. The correct answer is he was black.
Oh, I got that wrong.
And one of y'all got it right, Uncle Bob. And I can show you the video of him and what he looks like here. Let's see here. This is the video of him robbing the bank dressed up. I mean.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Yep. And then that's the store where he stripped down and walked out with no shirt on after robbing the bank. So,
oh my.
Open and shut case.
Yeah, he walked in with glitter and sprinkles.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the bonus round. We've been here for a while. Show's going on. No music. We'll just go straight into it. Let's see. How about... I think I already did this one yesterday. So how about this one? A Trump supporter, 78 years old, threw his pro-Hillary wife to the floor during an argument over the presidential race. An elderly Florida couple. Oh, Florida. You never fail. You never fail me. An elderly Florida couple came to blows while having a heated argument over the presidential race, in which the husband supports Donald Trump and his wife is a Hillary Clinton supporter. Lawrence Littman, 78, was arrested last Wednesday night at his home for allegedly hurling his wife, 73, to the floor. According to a criminal complaint, the brawl was sparked by a disagreement over the Littman's divergent political views, as his wife is registered Democrat and her husband is a registered Republican. Elvia Littman later revealed to the Smoking Gun that her husband plans to vote for Trump in November, where she backs Clinton. The old people had this political rift that came to a head around 10 p.m. on July 27 when the Littmans launched into a discussion over the contentious presidential campaign. According to the 73-year-old Mrs. Littman, her husband called her many derogatory names, that grabbed her wrist and threw her on the chair in the bedroom. When the woman tried to get away by going to a bedroom on the other side of the house, he allegedly followed her, grabbed her by the arm, and flung her to the floor. The complaint states that Elvia told the police that she hurt her backside when she fell. When questioned by police, Lawrence claimed that his better half tried to slap him in the face, and then she slipped and fell. The elderly Trump supporter was arrested for battery of a person over 65. He was freed on $500 bond after pleading not guilty to the felony count. Littman has been ordered to stay away from his wife. Guess the race. It's just his picture, not hers.
White.
All right, let's see what the chat room believes his race is in this case. Did you already ask or no? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to say he's white, but she's black. Can't decide. Well, we only got one picture. Surprise, he kept himself together for Decision 2012. White. Get the sweet tea from the fountain, white. From the fountain. The correct answer is white. What gave it away?
I don't know, but if you wait till we get in our 60 to decide you want to take me, you know, to put your hands on me, we're gonna have some problems.
I mean, I really feel like it anytime if I put my hands on you, we would have some problems, so I'm not planning on putting my hands on you anyway. At any age, I don't think it's ever okay.
No, but I'm talking about in this particular relationship, like, he waited, they got old to decide to put, no, and you know what, it's probably not the first time he done that.
Maybe not, you know. I do like the idea that the intersection of people that hate Hillary Clinton just happen to possibly be sexist. It's just a coincidence. There's nothing to see here, guys. It could just be a coincidence. A man wielding a samurai sword stabs policeman in the leg as he responds to a 999 call. This is the moment a police officer was
outside of the United States, I'm assuming.
999. Yeah, the UK. Okay. No, it's the Herman Cain hotline.
Like, nah. Would you like a pizza?
This is the moment a police officer was stabbed in the leg with a samurai sword after responding to an emergency call in Northampton. Constable Rob Monk was attacked as he arrived at the scene and tried to make his way through the front door of the house. PC Monk was then forced to protect his colleague with a taser as PC Gary Little desperately attempted to stop the blood flow. The pair have now been honored at the Police Bravery Awards in London at a ceremony on Thursday, July 14, which honors and recognizes police officers who perform outstanding acts of bravery while on or off duty. Rob and Gary were nominated for their actions following an incident in November 2014 when a typical Sunday evening took a dangerous turn after a call came about a man causing damage to cars with a baseball bat. They arrived at the scene, found the damaged cars, and could see there was damage at a nearby house. There were concerns the man may attempt to take his own life and that he had some mental health problems. The officers, one armed with a taser and both with protective shields, approached the front door of the property when the man was yelling aggressively from inside and continually tried to keep the officers outside. At one point, PC Monk managed to jam his foot in the doorway, keeping the door ajar. Suddenly, the offender lunged at the officers and stabbed PC Monk in the leg with a samurai-style sword he had hidden behind the door. PC Little acted quickly, knowing the offender was still armed, and pulled PC Monk, who was bleeding heavily, from the doorway. The sword had penetrated straight through his thigh and was close to a main artery. Damn. While PC Little improvised a tourniquet, PC Monk used his taser to afford some protection to his partner while further help arrived. They then rushed the colleague to the hospital for immediate treatment, all the while genuinely fearing for his life. So yeah, they put that safety at risk because this motherfucker had a sword and it can be dangerous. Now, somehow they still ended up, you know, not killing this dude.
Right.
So,
right.
That's the race. he was sentenced in court to a hospital order without time limit because he was armed, dangerous, and having a mental episode. So they didn't feel the need to kill him, and they didn't feel the need to put him in prison. So interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting what happens when you're afforded empathy. All right, guys, we'll be back Saturday for our feedback show. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.